Good morning. Another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. Thanks to his mercies, fresh and new today as well. Another church year is coming to a close. And with each church year, we have an opportunity to go through various aspects of the Bible, sections of the Bible, to serve as a good review for our Christian faith and life, to help us grow in our relationship in Jesus, and to also review his expectations for us through this life. Well, with the end of another church year upon us and another church season, the end times that we are entering today, we are strongly encouraged to remember that this world is temporary and to not set our hopes on it, but rather to rest our hope on him who provides that which lasts. Today then, with our Reformation emphasis, the first encouragement is to continue to stand firm on God's word of truth for our faith and life, because the alternative, well, it doesn't lead to a pretty ending. And in the meantime, it leads to a decline in society and in the church. Now, with all those thoughts in mind, we turn to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King of all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pastures, the flock under his care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Thank you.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make our sin to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
for all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. On this Reformation emphasis of the end time portion of the church here, a reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Daniel, the sixth chapter, an example of the fact that trust in God is not misplaced in the midst of intimidation and threats. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Bible is very clear. We cannot save ourselves. We do need God's grace. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of our sin. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Confession of faith, please take the emboldened words. Whoever wishes to be saved must, above all else, hold to the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all points will certainly perish forever.
Now this is the true Christian faith.
We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing.
For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct.
But the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty.
What the Father is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated and one who is infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty.
Yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
Yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
Yet they are not three lords, but one Lord.
For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord,
so the true Christian faith forbids us to speak of three gods.
The Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior.
But all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal.
so that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons.
Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, where Jesus reminds us that living the faith could get ugly, and so the encouragement to stand firm. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we turn to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace thankfully remain ours in great abundance from God our Father and through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. With this Reformation emphasis, we turn back to these words from Matthew. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully has pointed out to us through the Scriptures the way to salvation, the one way. Now, if you had to come up with an animal that was considered shrewd, that is, one that was crafty and aware of its circumstances and also able to defend itself, what animal would you come up with? Yeah, a snake would be a good choice. Now, if you had to come up with an animal that represented innocence, what animal would you come up with? A dove. Again, good choice. How fitting it is that Jesus would use these two animals, a reptile and a bird, to make a point about how it is that you and I, as his followers, are to go through this life. To be shrewd and ready, and yet at the same time, hold on to a standing of innocence before God, who is the ultimate judge of all people, and the one that we ought to be concerned about. How fitting it is, then, that we celebrate a Reformation that took place in the 1500s due to its relevance still today. That we are encouraged to remain steadfast in the Word of God in a way that will not malign the Word, as unfortunately too many have done. And so as Jesus sends us out into this world as his disciples, he gives us this encouragement, the same one he gave to those original disciples. Be shrewd and innocent, wise to the ways of this world, recognizing that this world hates Jesus. That's the way it is by nature. The world is not a friendly place toward Jesus and thus toward the followers of Jesus. Yes, the world, the people of this world, have the natural knowledge of God. They know by nature that they are accountable to some supreme being and so have to suppress that natural knowledge. That's why the Scripture says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They also have to suppress the natural law or ignore it, which they do. People know by nature that murder and crime and adultery is wrong, and their conscience testifies to that. And so they try to silence their conscience. And so the world hates Jesus because Jesus is a reminder of who they are accountable to and why that they fail to keep the law and that they dull their conscience. And so Jesus says, be wise to the ways of the world. Don't be ignorant. Don't be naive. And don't be naive to how the world will not be on your side. Remember the prodigal son? As long as he had money and was buying the rounds for everybody, he had friends. But as soon as his money ran out, go eat with the pigs. The world will use you and chew you up. They will want you to justify their point of view. And if you don't justify their point of view, what is the result? All of a sudden, you are called names that make your ears hurt. And they're the ones who proclaim tolerance and don't hate. And yet, who are the ones who are not tolerant? And who are the ones who preach a message of hate? Case example of seeing that the protests. It's okay to protest, right? We have that right in our country. But what gives those protesters the right to defame property and hurt other people? Aren't you just doing what you are speaking against? The world hates Jesus, and it hates followers of Jesus, and we should not be surprised that the world not only defames public property, but even church property. All to justify their faulty viewpoint of life. And Jesus tells us what we can expect. He says we can expect this even from our own family. I mean, back then, at the time when Jesus announces his disciples, it was very apparent, and even after Jesus ascended into heaven, and it still takes place in other parts of the world. I mean, we in America, thankfully, are spoiled in one sense that it's not gotten to this point, but Jesus says it may. And as those around us and before us experience this, pray for them. Be wise to the ways of the world. It can get ugly. And so how do we be wise? He says, remain alert. Again, as Jesus is sending out the 12 on this missionary journey, he tells them what they can expect. Now, they can expect some success by the work of the Holy Spirit, but they also will experience hatred. And so Jesus says to those who kick you out, shake the dust off your feet. But in the meantime, as you go from place to place, be ready. Be alert. You will suffer persecution for the name of Jesus. That persecution will take on various forms. In fact, you may even be arrested, handed over by a family member who's trying to save their own skin. And so we'll give you up. And you may even face death. And so that reminder that the Apostle John gave, the one apostle that was able to live and die a natural death, but under house arrest. Be faithful to the point of death, and Jesus will give you the crown of life. Even when the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul were arrested for the name of Jesus and threatened with death, they did not cave, but rather continued to be a witness. And in the case of the jailer of Philippi, he came to faith together with his family. Even in unpleasant circumstances, the Lord God keeps his promises and can work good for his kingdom. Now again, while there will be some success, by and large, there will be an atmosphere of hatred. Now Jesus is not trying to be a downer. He's realistic. He knows what's going on in this world and will be going on till the end of time. He is prepping us. So he says, be shrewd, be alert, be crafty. Knowing how to respond. As a snake is crafty and aware of its circumstances and ready to attack, keeping its head on a swivel, so to speak. So that's how we are to be. Not in an attack in the same way as those who are attacking us, but not to be naive, to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have, but to do this with gentleness and respect. I mean, would you walk in a dark alley at night in a seedy place, part of town, without any protection or flashlight? Most likely would not. And would you encourage your family and friends to not do that as well? So Jesus says, you don't need to put yourself in the harm's way, but harm's way, when it comes, be ready for it. And when we're having a conversation with people who have challenged us or we're trying to witness to, Jesus reminds us, yes, be shrewd, be crafty in your words, but also remain innocent. Don't shoot off your mouth. Don't get caught up in the name calling. Don't fall prey to the temptations and the traps set before you like they tried to trap Jesus. Unfortunately, even some pastors have fallen prey trying to be innocent, but getting caught in the traps on social media, trying to speak the truth, but yet the people didn't want to hear the truth. They were just trying to spin to see how far this pastor would go and respond, and sure enough, went a little too far. And reputation ruined, no longer in the ministry. Innocent, but damage was done. The world is very crafty. And God tells us as followers of Jesus, we need to be just as crafty. We need to be aware of the tricks and the modes that they use to try to get us to fall, so that we can put up a defense. And when we are in those situations, just as Jesus said to the disciples, when you are under arrest, for example, what did he say? Don't worry about what to say. I will give you the words to speak. And sometimes I'm going to keep your mouth silent. Remember, Jesus sometimes, when he was faced with the religious leaders, he just remained silent. Sometimes there's a place just for silence. But when we talk, let us talk the words of God. Let us be shrewd and innocent at that time. And so as we're shrewd and innocent at the same time, not only to the ways of the world, let us also be wise to the ways of God, especially the point of salvation that has been secured for us through Jesus and Jesus alone. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you're going to get flack for that from some people. So be it. That's on them. We need to hold fast by the Holy Spirit working in us and continue to hold to the truth that will save them. Because as we just heard earlier in one of our readings, it's not by the law that we are saved, but rather through faith. Faith not just in anything or anyone, but faith in Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, who has taken, fortunately, all of our falling into temptation and all of the times that we have not given a clear example and everything else to the cross and said, it's not going to be held against you. Go and live in your freedom, the freedom that I purchased for you. I have made you more than conquerors. And so as we go through this life, remember this wisdom of God that even while living, we are more than conquerors. Winners where it counts. And even though on this side of heaven, we will have to endure some harsh things, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that doesn't change our status with God, thanks to Jesus. And that status is connected. We are connected to it by the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, how important those means are, and why the Lord God continues to encourage us to grow in his grace and the knowledge of his word and of his truth. There's not a time for us to disconnect ourselves from the means of grace. We need to be nurtured. That's how we grow. If we're not growing, what happens? We're sliding backwards. We're not going to be able to stand firm. And haven't we seen that happen to too many of the next generation? People who have sat in these pews, sat in confirmation, made that promise to not turn from God, or else they would be willing to die. Where are they? They have become some of the haters. Not all of them, but some of them. Now, it's not that they have to be in these exact pews, but that they stay connected to Jesus. But unfortunately, some aren't even connected to Jesus. Their lifestyle gives evidence of that. And James talks about faith without works is dead. If you're not living a lifestyle that's in line with God's word, then you don't have faith. It's a time for repentance and a time to get reconnected to the means of grace. Unfortunately, though, the world has become very good at turning our children into sponges for their ways, not God's ways. And so we as the church need to be just as shrewd and yet hold our innocence in those sponges of children and point them to God's ways. That's not brainwashing. That's salvation. His ways are to guide us. We are to be the salt and the light. We are to be the ones setting the example for the people of this world and for one another. We are to be the reflectors with family and friends. And when those family and friends push back on us, God help us stand firm and either give us the words to speak or keep our mouth silent so we don't put our foot in our mouth. How important it is then, as we are salt and light, that not only are we aware of what could come our way, but even when we're with so-called friends, that we're not hypocritical in the language and the terminology we use. We don't have the right for name-calling. A redeemed person who may have rejected the Lord Jesus at this point in time, but it still doesn't give us the right to call people names if we disagree with their lifestyle or whatever it might be. We need to be an example of what tolerance truly is. Yes, we can have a conversation and we can disagree with your viewpoint, but it doesn't mean I hate you and it doesn't mean I'm out to hurt you. As we go with God's word then, Jesus has prepared us to go, to be alert and to be crafty, to be able to defend ourselves and yet maintain innocence. He also recognizes, and again, maybe not so much in our country as of yet, but in other countries, he recognizes that as believers, you may have to move and not stay in the town that you grew up in. You may have to change jobs. You may no longer have the same friends that you once had because they're not helping you grow in your relationship with Jesus, but rather leading you away from Jesus. As Jesus was telling the disciples, there may be short-term pain, but remember it comes with long-term gain. And know that the gospel will endure. In that last sentence, he reminds us, the gospel will endure. The Apostle Peter led that. The word endures forever. The people and the challenges, they come and go. And they will until the end of time. But what will also be here until the end of time is a source of judgment. And as a source of salvation, God's law and gospel. Now, while we don't have to be a martyr, we recognize that time may come. And when it does come, God keep us prepared for such a time. This is why we're to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and remember that we remain more than conquerors through him who loved us so much he gave his life for us. That was the message of the Reformation then. That's the message of the Reformation today. So yes, dear friends, be shrewd. And at the same time, remain innocent. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith on page 11. It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith. He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh. Though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons, but one.
One, not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God.
One, indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and from there will come to judge
At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. This is the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved.
After a brief introduction, we'll join in singing the next hymn verse.
Please be seated. And we pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children. Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Lord, we reap what we sow. Help us sow generously as you are generous with us. Through you, we have become rich in ways the world on its own will not know or find. Help us use the thank offerings we bring to support the spread of the gospel, so more and more can know what true wealth is and reap a harvest of righteousness. May those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And for our couples celebrating their wedding anniversary, renew their love in light of your love for each of them. And Lord, as the physician of both body and soul, as you will, speed up the healing for Martha Kohler so no further procedures are needed. Continue to grant her patience and a joy-filled disposition through this ordeal. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
We also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We pray. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen to that. Our Bible study, looking at the proclaiming peace through Jesus, how to witness to faith, stand firm, and be on the offensive without being defensive. We'll probably have it in here since it rained a little bit, so we don't want anybody to melt on the way from here to the chapel. So we'll hold it in here. We'll save the test case in the chapel for another time. Then just a reminder, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, first Sunday of the month is the Mission Box opportunity to help support the missions that LWMS gets behind in the United States as well as throughout the world. You can learn more about that always by looking at the information board as well as going to the LWMS website. Great information there. Or also the Wells website, looking at home and world missions, what we all do throughout the world by God's grace. Len Sampaio's victory service will be held, Lord willing, this coming Saturday here at the church, November 11th at 2 p.m. So keep that in mind. We keep Shirley and her family in our prayers. Just direct you to the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school in the next few weeks. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.